Second item, I would like to do have any apologies for absence this evening.
Mr. Mayor, we have received apologies from councillors Dodson and Phillips.
Thank you. Do we have any declarations of interests? No? Okay. In terms of Mayor's announcements this evening, it's a pleasure to let you know that the Mayor's Charity Appeal Quiz Night on the 20th of January has raised in excess of £600, so all those who are there and having a really good time tested for themselves and will raise some funds for charity. And this afternoon I was given a cheque for £1,000 at St Mary's Church, funds raised from Christmas Tree Festival for the charity as well, so that's again gratefully received. I'd like to also just remind councillors, which you've all heard about, if we've got another tribute evening, a live tribute band at the Top of the World on the 1st of March. Invitations have been sent out for this event. If you haven't signed up for it, then please do so. Numbers are beginning to climb up with some substance, and it looks like it's going to be a really good evening. Finally, it's with sadness that I have to announce the passing of former councillor Mayor Stuart Glaser. And I'd like to ask you all to please join me in 1 minute's silence. The next item on the agenda is public question time.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Council session?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Notice of motions?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So item 8 on the agenda is the General Fund Revenue Budget and Capital Programme 2023-26. I believe Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, as members will already have had a chance to read the budget report, I shall cover only the salient. I thought that was a heckle. Fine. Well, that's early on.
Depends what you have to say.
I shall cover only the salient points, Mr. Mayor. Now, the purpose of this report is to propose to the Council the General Fund Revenue Budget, the updated capital programme for 24-27 and indicative budgets for 25-26 and 26-27, and also to propose the approval of new car parking charges in Stone as per Appendix 8. The main recommendations are set out in paragraph 2.1. I shall deal with some of these later, but you can see them there anyway, they're there in black and white. I now turn to some of the details about the budget issues for 24-25. One, there is to be increased investment in the finance team so that we can support our statutory obligations. For example, we are aware, Mr. Mayor, that the accounts audits are behind. And while this is by no means unique in the local authority sector, we wish to improve our performance. Also, now that the council is involved with a number of schemes, regarding the regeneration of the town centre for the benefit of residents, greater support is needed by the finance section because you can't make bricks without straw. And so £159,000 has been included in the base budget to increase staffing and support investment in the team. Incidentally, this is planned to be matched by Cannock due to the shared service arrangements, so they'll be contributing to make a total of £300,000 investment in finance. Secondly, £100,000 has also been allocated for a transformational reserve for Stafford, and Cannock are also planning to create one the same amount of money, so that both councils can review procedures, processes, systems, governance, to ensure that we're getting the most out of our working practices and that we're looking to deliver best practice in our service provision. The investment income, Mr. Mayor, is good news, driven by higher interest rates, of course. £1.950 million net is included for 24-25. But I would stress, I really must stress this very heavily, this income is a windfall. It cannot be guaranteed in the medium term. It can't even be guaranteed in the next year, let alone the medium term, particularly as it's looking now, as though interest rates will be falling over the course of the next year, thus reducing our investment income. That's why it's important that we use the money well and invest in the council to future-proof it, to enhance service delivery and drive transformational change for the benefit of our residents. This surplus will be set aside, Mr. Mayor, to create two new reserves and add some more to the third reserve pot. The first one will be the investment reserve. That's going to be £1.5 million out of this investment windfall which we have, and is to provide money to invest in council service delivery. This reserve will enable the council to transform the way it delivers services, whether that be through new channels of engagement, new software, and so on, for the benefit of residents, and also helps us to invest to save, so that if we can improve the delivery of services while reducing the cost of that delivery, or doing it more efficiently, then it stands us in good stead in case of future financial settlements which may not be as strong for the council, thus helping us to deal with future shocks. The second reserve pot is the business initiative reserve, and we're putting £500,000 into that. And that's for service areas to build robust business cases, to bid for resources to support service delivery. These business cases will be presented to an evaluation panel to ensure that maximum value for money is achieved. And thirdly, Mr. Mayor, £250,000 is to be set aside to add to the existing climate change reserves, bringing that total to £275,000, as this is, of course, a key area. An example of what money might be spent on, and these are purely examples, they're not nothing else at all, might be solar panels, or the start of an EV fleet, those sorts of things to actually help us to save some money in the future as well. Now, all those three are one-off resources, and they are not built into the base budget because they are windfalls. Now I turn to the local government finance settlement for 24-25 and the autumn statement. Just pick out one or two things. Council tax, Mr. Mayor, can be increased by a higher of 2.99% or £5 without a referendum for second-tier authorities such as ours. And there are various updates in policy regarding business rate reliefs, new homes bonus. Those are for 1 year only, 24-25. It did not cover information on new homes bonus for the medium term, nor the fair funding review, nor the business rates reset. How helpful is that? The government seems to consider that it can consider finance on a yearly basis, but expects us to budget for it in the medium term. That can only be done with great difficulty, Mr. Mayor, with many question marks, many unknowns. And this is actually a major reason why prudence is necessary when creating a budget and considering the level of council tax. However, this settlement included $1.986 million, almost $2 million, for a funding guarantee grant, which it gave to us. Now, this is a one-off grant designed to maintain a minimum level of core spending power for an authority. But it could well, we had it this year, it's coming for next year, and it could well be repeated in the future. So those predicted amounts are included in Table 2. But what it's really important to note, Mr. Mayor, is in paragraph 5.13, this grant was calculated by the government on the basis that council tax is increased by a maximum of 2.99%. That's the basis of the calculation. If the council did not do this, then it would have a negative effect on future years' budgets, as the grant in future years would be less than the lost, in inverted commas, potential income from not increasing council tax to the maximum allowed. So basically, the finance settlement was effectively based on us increasing council tax to the maximum 2.99%, as this would give us the minimum guaranteed level of funding. So it's the central government who is saying, increase your tax. Because if you don't increase it to the maximum, you're going to lose money in the future. Well, how many of us are going to want to do that, I wonder? So it should be noted that also the financial settlement is provisional at this stage. Now, the revenue budget summary, the portfolio budget position is set up in Table 2 of page 9, and you can see all the figures there. Table 2, I should add, has been updated from the report of 4th January to reflect the impact of the Cannock-led shared service budget. So there's been an update there. And may I also say that during 2023-24, a zero-based budgeting exercise was carried out when budgets were reviewed line by line by the finance team with the budget holders. And the results of this are reflected in the budget in Table 2. I would like to say that was carried out by the previous administration, the previous controlling group, and I commend them for that. I think that was a very good idea. I'm glad they did that. And I think credit where credit's due. Now, we come to reserves and balances next, Mr. Mayor. Paragraph 5.31 defines terms and explains why they're essential to good financial management. The important thing is it also refers to Appendix 6, which includes the reassurance of the Chief Finance Officer on the robustness of the estimates and the adequacy of reserves. Paragraph 5.32 deals with earmarked reserves and refers the reader to Appendix 4. Now, as for the working balance, Mr. Mayor, for several years, the policy has been to maintain the level of the general fund balance at a minimum of £1 million, and that will continue. There is cross-party support for that, and there has been for many years. The capital programme, Mr. Mayor, 23-24 to 26-27. The capital programme includes the future High Streets Fund projects at this point in time and shows real investment in the town together with a desire to improve the town for residents. Which brings us to the council tax base and collection fund, which are covered in paragraphs 5.37 to 5.40. And so we move on to council tax 2024-25. Now, the proposed increase of 2.99% is within the guidelines for district councils as contained in government policy. Each additional 1% increase in council tax would generate approximately £80,000 in income. The proposed level of the council's council tax for 24-25 is £173.56 for a Band D property. Now, that sort of increase, that increase amounts to £5.04 on a Band D property per year. That's per year, just over £5, or about 10p per week. 10p per week. Don't forget, we're not the ones who take a lot of money out of people's pockets. It's the county council that does that. They have the vast amount, the vast majority of the council taxes, and it goes to the county council. We only keep 10% of the total amount of taxes. The county council has, I would think, about at least 80%. About 80%, that's in the upper 70s. That's an awful lot of money, and that goes to the county council. It doesn't come here. So it is worthwhile reminding ourselves of that, but most of the money we collect goes to the county council. Now, paragraphs 5.45 and 5.48 deal with financial planning, which can be summed up in two words. Very difficult. The paragraphs explain why. The major potential adverse effect, Mr. Mayor, over the medium term is government policy, because a business rates reset is the sword of Damocles hanging over all our heads, and another reason why we have to take care about council taxes. And there's a new section of the report, horizon scanning. We haven't seen that before. This includes the potential introduction of food waste collection and the impact of falling inflation and interest rates on investment income. Again, more reasons for prudence, Mr. Mayor. Finally, Mr. Mayor, a risk register is included at Appendix 7, which sets out the various risks, their levels, and mitigating actions where appropriate. Now, before I conclude, Mr. Mayor, I'm sure the Council would wish to join me in thanking the Deputy Chief Executive Resources and the Chief Accountant Financial Management and all the team responsible for the creation of this budget for their hard work and effort, and for working to such deadlines, tight deadlines, to produce it, as a result of the usual tardiness by the government in supplying the necessary data. Mr. Mayor, we are grateful for the blood, toil, tears and sweat which they must have expended to complete this Herculean task. So in conclusion, Mr. Mayor, we are in a robust financial position for the life of the medium-term financial strategy, which is good news, and I commend this budget to members. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I just comment?
We need to second the proposal on the zero rights screen.
I'd just like to say that I'm so pleased to see that there'll be some funding available for climate change, especially in view of the fact that 2023 was the hottest year on record. And of course, we've had all the flooding in Stafford. So I'd just like to say it's been a long time coming, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, Mr. Mayor, good evening. I'm not going to talk about loaves of bread, but I did wonder what the opposite of the giveaway budget was, because, you know, we often talk about giveaway budgets that help residents, particularly when times are tough. And I wonder what the opposite was. You know, was it a takeout, or was it the gathering of loaves with no redistribution to those that needed them most? Back at the end of November, we discussed in this chamber that £872,000 was the outturn from the previous financial year, which had been put into reserves. The investment budget set for this year, because of higher interest rates, was going to bring in potentially between £1.6 and £4.1 million to this borough council in additional interest. Council tax is proposed to be increased by £240,000. The brown bins have already been increased at £148,000, and fees and charges are bringing in a further £687,000. Increases that fall on all residents. So I suppose you could ask, what are the residents getting for the increase in budgets? Well, actually, individual departmental budgets are proposed to go up by £1.8 million, or 11.6%, over the ensuing year. That's portfolio budgets, higher than expected. So not reductions, it's higher than expected. And all of that when CPI is running at 4%. Now, somewhere I can't quite work out the difference in the maths. And yet, at the same stage, the new administration can't find £35,000 to look after the most vulnerable people within the council's area. There's an amount of crowing about zero-based budgets. And that's good, but we'll come back to that in a minute. I had hoped that the administration might have talked about the additional government funding that was announced last week, but that's not been added to this evening's debate. I had somewhat hoped that they might talk about DEFRA's capital funding for the collection of food waste. Again, not in this evening's debate. So again, we hear about this windfall of additional investment income of 1.95 recognised in this year's budget. Called a windfall and not guaranteed, I think, were the words. And I ask, a windfall for whom? Because if all we are doing is taking that windfall off our residents and just putting it into earmarked reserves, surely that money would be far better spent by leaving it in our residents' pockets and allowing them to decide how it should be spent and not necessarily taking it off them. I think the words, we're only keeping 10% of the amount of money from people's pockets. Well, that is money taken out of people's pockets that is just simply unnecessary. The figures I indicated at the beginning of this discussion demonstrate that those increases are just unnecessary. So I guess where I'd like to conclude, Mr. Mayor, is that I, for one, will certainly not be supporting this budget that takes money out of our residents' pockets unnecessarily. And instead, what I'd be interested to understand from the Cabinet member is a couple of things in terms of the appendix that he referred to on page, is I think 47, the appendix which relates to reserves pages 61 to 64, where it's very clear there that there is £34.7 million that the Borough Council has in reserves, in cash, and yet it's taking yet more money. And I just wonder whether the Cabinet member was able just to advise us on what was in the capital, I was going to say corporate pot, and that's exactly what I mean. There is £433,000 sitting in the corporate pot. Now, I don't know if that's something that the Cabinet have been smoking, because it does seem to me that there is an exact opposite between bringing money in and spending it, or bringing it in and just leaving it in reserves for a rainy day, when you've already got £34 million in reserves for a rainy day. And I'd also like to ask the Cabinet Member what the element is within budget support, which is another £1.66 million. These are reserves that are already sitting there, and yet the administration is hell-bent on taking more money off our residents during a cost of living crisis that is just unnecessary. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Beaton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to get a bit more specific with the Cabinet Member. What I wanted to understand is the budget savings proposal section of the report. and that's in relation to the sizeable shortfall that seems to have appeared in the 23-24-25 budget for shared services, and that's 5.6 in the council papers, where it says the main change for 23-25 has been the slipping of the shared services saving of £400,000 into future years. Why? These must be the planned savings accruing from sharing the chief executive with Cannon, but have evidently not been realised. For they can't be previous shared service savings brought in by the Conservative administration, which achieved all their budgetary and efficiency targets. So sensibly, we introduced a monthly progress, a set of progress reports to take remedial action if anything wasn't going right. Using that tool, the new administration would have been aware of the overall budget shortfall and, I would have thought, in a position to take remedial action. If these reports are not being produced, I do ask that they be restored for the Cabinet to take advantage of and also made available for clarity and openness to the opposition. So the question remains, why has there been such an astonishing slippage within a year or so, but £400,000, nearly £500,000 of unification savings for a joint staff and Cabinet chief executive, land to justify the move, cannot be met for 23, 24, 25, or an unspecified number of years beyond. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you,
Councillor. Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, on that point, the 23-24 slippage has nothing to do with us, I'm afraid. That was your administration. That's about the 23-24. But for 24-25... But for 24-25, yes, there has been slippage. But that is going to be sorted out in the forthcoming years. So let's ask us a question about that in a year or so's time. We should have got an improvement there. I would certainly hope we have.
I certainly hope you have.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Can I please ask the controlling group to explain to the people of Stafford Borough why are you putting council tax up by 2.99% but spending nothing extra on streets and services? We need to be investing more in making Stafford Borough a beautiful place to live and work. You have the money, now spend it wisely. And let me add, it was the good work of the previous controlling group, Conservative group, that you had the good fortune of finding the monetary situation of this council to be excellent, and not like many other authorities that are near facing bankruptcy. And Mr. Mayor, while I'm on my feet, I would like to mention about, you mentioned in your budget about Glover Street site. What about the salting site that is situated in Bassett Ward? Where is the money that the Stafford Borough Council make from that site? People pay, and what in the future will you be spending it on? I remember back in the year 2000, the money taken in rent was about £28,000. Correct me if I'm wrong. I would be interested to know what it is today and what it's been spent on. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm obviously reading this report. I was interested in paragraph 5.7 on page 6, which refers to business rates income. When I come down to Stafford, I normally come on the back road to Method past the old Method power station site, which had been earmarked for some time now as a potential major employment area. I'm concerned about several things relative to that. One is that that site just seems to have been redundant for a long time. I seem to remember fairly recently, as part of the planning committee, going on a site visit to that area to see potential development areas. I think it was about 2 years ago when that visit took place, but it doesn't seem anything has happened to that. I think there is a balance between what you get in terms of council tax, in terms of development in the town centre, but also in terms of development of industrial sites. And this is the major industrial site within the county, and nothing really very much is happening with it as far as I can see. And I'm just wondering, because that paragraph 5.7 is very difficult to understand exactly what it means, but I don't think it's talking about anything in terms of development, in terms of job opportunity, and in terms of increased business rates. And there is a huge potential for business rates on that side. So I would ask the cabinet member if he could care to comment on where this major site falls in terms of future financial planning. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, happy to do that. This paragraph of 5.7 really talks about the key risk being volatility, you know, volatility within the economy, and the fact that businesses can go bust as well, and therefore we could lose business rates. But I'm sure we'd all agree, as a council, that we all want to encourage more businesses coming into this borough, and we want to do all we can to help those businesses to grow and prosper in this borough. Because that also means more employment, more income, more consumption, and hopefully, as a result, more happiness because of all that. So I'm sure we'd all agree with that aim. And if it's necessary, we can look at why this isn't moving on in the way perhaps it should be, and see what we can do to try and help the oil the wheels.
Councillor Jones.
Mr. Mayor, firstly, could I just ask people on page 13, the use of the word revising is like a red rag to the bull of every member of this, not only this council, but every person in England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales. Perhaps you can find another word to use. Mr. Mayor, the last 4 years and more, the gentleman opposite there ranted on about the brown bin tax and how it was an effort to people to be paying. And I therefore cannot understand why, and I read this budget, I find that the information is in there that he's still going to have the brown bin tax, but he's increased it by 17%. Could he please explain to this council and to the people of this borough why he is going to renege on his promise to abolish the brown bin tax?
Hear, hear.
Easy, Mr. Matt. When circumstances change, I change my mind. What do you do, sir? That's what John Maynard Keynes said.
Flip-flop.
Oh, incidentally, would you prefer Chou d'Horizon?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question to the Cabinet Member concerns the general fund reserves and balances and technical resources which can be found on page 46 of the document. Under the plans, there are two large contents which should plan to be by the Congress. One is EU exit preparation for maybe £25,000, and the second is COVID grants for maybe £225,000. So here's my question: where and how do the cabinet members intend to spend this grant money? Furthermore, let me just confirm whether or not this grant money will have to be returned if left unspent.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I didn't quite catch that. I think the mic needs to be speaking louder into it or something.
So what do you want me to
do? Would you mind speaking loudly into that? It's very, I don't think my hearing's going, but I horribly.
Put some hearing.
Would you like a hearing?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What do I do with
They're
it?
They're very good, actually.
Put them in your...
Switch it on. Switch it on.
I'm sorry, Councillor.
Actually, the carpenter's hard of hearing this evening.
Okay, now, if you wouldn't mind speaking up.
Yes. So, I am page 46 of the document.
Page what? 40?
46.
Yeah, 46. 46?
Yeah.
Oh, the results, yes.
Yeah. You have two line items. One is EU exit preparation for nearly £25,000. And the second group by surprise is COVID grants for nearly £235,000.
Actually, on the COVID grant thing, I have a feeling something's coming up before Cabinet fairly soon about some use to be made of those funds. That's about health issues. I think I'm right in that. I think something called my... that's actually going to be dealt with over the next, well, month or so less. So that'll be wiped out, because that's going to go to some other projects which we can actually have permission to use it for, and so you'll be seeing that publicised soon.
So why
is
there?
Well, because, sorry, because things take a bit, you know, when they've actually transferred the money, then it'll come out of there and go into the other funds. What you can't have is a gap somewhere, and a vacuum. The money must be somewhere until you move it to somewhere else, and it must be seen to be moved and be there. So that'll move to another part of the accounts. Now, in terms of the EU, that's an interesting point. Perhaps you're thinking we might be going back at some time, I don't know. But that seems to be quite a lot of money. Perhaps I'll take that up with the Chief Finance Officer. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to begin by responding to the comments about street scene.
Thank you.
Page 47 of the document, the last section deals with environment, and the first line of that is street scene transformation. Mm-hmm. And you'll see there that an increase on the figure of £109,000 for next year to £137,000 practically, and then increasing eventually to £191,000. So money is being invested in street scenes. I'd also draw attention to paragraph 5.28 on page 10. Where it says, three new reserves have been created. The investment reserve is to provide monies to invest in council assets and services. It will enable the council to make transformational change in the way that it engages with residents and delivers services for the betterment of residents of the council. This is where the money is for making those changes that you talk about. We are planning to make those changes.
Good.
The second point I want to make is this. People have mentioned tonight the idea that we should use the windfall that we've had from investments to either not have a council tax increase or have less than we are proposing. And I want to draw an analogy. It's a bit like someone who works for an employer. And the employer says, well, this year I'm going to give you a bonus, but not going to get a wage increase, despite the fact that
you know, inflation's gone up and so on, you can use that bonus to offset those increases. The following year, the employee says, well, inflation's gone up again, I've used up that money you gave me, but I need twice as much now, because inflation's increased twice since I last had a pay increase. But the employer says, well, the shareholders have told me that I can only go above 3% with their agreement, and that's going to be a costly exercise. I'm sorry, you'll have to find cuts in your spending. And that's precisely what we would have to do next year if we took that advice. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we... Oh, sorry, Councillor Livingston, I beg your pardon, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sitting here listening tonight, it becomes fairly obvious to me and to my colleagues on this side that we're sort of in a situation where the guys on that side are trying to pull the wool over our eyes. What you're saying is that you're getting £1.6 million windfall from the interest on investments, and that's going to go be squirreled away into reserves. Put quite simply, we feel that in the times of the cost of living crisis, this is morally wrong.
Yeah.
Morally wrong. And that's all of you there, if you vote for this, it's morally wrong. We would like to put in an amendment. And this is for the people of Stafford. We've got copies of the amendment that will come around the chamber, but I'll read it out. And that is that for the amended budget of Stafford Borough Council 2024-2025, the windfall coming from increased investments on interest from investments held by Stafford Borough Council, estimated to be £1.6 million, as well as the £782,000 additional surplus from last financial year. Whereas the Cabinet members admitted the previous administration was managing the finances, and this has already gone into reserves, and also coupled to the strong likelihood that interest rates will remain higher for longer. That gives the County Council, that gives Stafford Borough Council the headroom to support all residents during this cost of living crisis. And the way we would do that is, firstly, we would hold business council tax, would hold council tax rather than increasing it by 3% as has been suggested. The additional council tax being raised is planned to sit in the council's bank account. We feel, and this is important, it is better that it sits in our residents' bank accounts, and they can choose how to spend their own money. Secondly, rather than the arbitrary 17% in brown bin charges, which has been forced on residents, we would keep them as they are over they were last year and keep them exactly the same for this year. And also, in light of what's been said already by the Cabinet Member about the town centre and footfall, rather than increase the car parking charge to £1.20 for the first hour, we would reduce that car park charge down to the round pounds, so people haven't got to go around searching for an extra 10p every time they want to put a pound's worth of time on the meter. This, we feel, would encourage residents and visitors from further afield to come into the centre of our county town. As part of the plan measure to support the town centre, which is as follows, the investment of £1 million to refurbish the town centre, which was undertaken by the previous administration, and the signing off of our plans to buy the Guildhall with a total investment of over £20 million. So just to summarise it, we want to get people back into Stafford Town. We want the town to become alive again. And finally, in addition, we would allocate over £400,000 towards home energy saving measures to retrofit insulation to the homes of the most vulnerable in our borough. And all of this will be funded by allocating just £500,000 to reserves rather than the planned £1.5 million. Mr. Mayor, the budget is on the back, and I commend that to the council.
Is that seconded? Mr. Mayor, I'm delighted to second a much more prudent budget for our residents and reserve the right to speak.
Councillor Pearce. Mr. Mayor, can I just can I reserve the right to speak as well?
Mr. Mayor, move of amendments to last on the amendment.
Yeah.
Can speak for the vote. Right. Mr. Mayor, I rise to raise a point of order. It's in relation to paragraph 16 of the Council's Constitution. In relation to previous decisions and motions, paragraph 1 talks about a motion to rescind the previous decision, requiring a notice of motion signed by at least 12 members, and the second paragraph talks about a motion similar to one previously rejected, and again talks about having to be signed by at least 12 members of the council. I should point out, sorry Mr. Mayor, that what I'm referring to is the items relating to fees and charges which have already been approved. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, it is clear that fees and charges went through this council on the 29th or the 28th of November. The impact on the budget didn't go through council, so they are material to this evening's discussion. Equally, I am surprised at the administration wanting to close down debates on where our residents' money gets spent. That, to me, is the sign of people in desperation.
There's no debate on the point of standing order.
Mr. Mayor, Rule 16.1 is, as Councillor Pearce says, that if the decision has been made by Council within the last 6 months, it cannot be rescinded unless it is a motion to rescind that's been made by the executive or a committee, or was a notice of motion signed by at least 12 members. So, the decision to pass our fees and charges in the last 6 months was made by council. It can't be rescinded tonight.
Mr. Mayor, could I just make the point that since the charge was put up, because you hadn't put it up about 3 years beforehand, since we put it up, the demand has increased. Where actually more people are now taking advantage of the green bin scheme.
Brown bin,
sorry. Green bin, this is using green into the brown.
Thank you, Councillor. So, we've had an amendment proposed. We've got a point of order on that, which will change that amendment, I suspect. Councillor, do you want to comment on that change?
Right. Could we have clarification as to what exactly this alludes to in our amendments?
As I understand it, the point of order is referring to the fact that the fees and charges were agreed within 6 months' time span. I appreciate your comment that they are material to this debate, but unfortunately that's not taken. And because that was the case with the, as Ian's just described, a different process. So, can that item be changed from the
to mandatory benefit.
Yes.
Three would have to go,
wouldn't they? So, Mr. Mayor, I understand that fees and charges have already agreed, brown bin charges, and reduction of car park charges.
Mr. Mayor, just very quickly, when the cabinet member stood up, he did mention the fact that car parking charges were going to be talked about tonight as well. So, what's the difference? I do feel it's a shame for the people of Stafford Borough that we've got a ruling party that is not prepared to talk about car parking charges or the brown bin. I'm sorry, it's a sad thing.
Mr. Mayor, as I understand it, the item on car parking charges on tonight's agenda refers only to the new car parking charges being added to the upgraded car parks at Westbridge Park, and not those that were included in the fees and charges. And I think Councillor Binton was referring to the general car parking charges earlier, which needs to be clarification. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. In that case, Councillor Binton, does that materially change your budget? Your amendment?
Mr. Mayor, I'm far from convinced. There are councils all over this country who have a very similar process in terms of fees and charges, and then followed by the council tax and the council budget. Are you saying that no other council is able to present an alternative budget or an alternative view? In which case, what is the point of having this meeting? Because it feels to me like there is no opportunity to put an alternative point of view. Has the legal officer taken legal advice from the LGA, for example, on this specific point? Because I think it's particularly germane to the debate.
I might
have to have a recess if you would like.
Yes, I'll accept that. I will recess this meeting for 5 minutes. That's sufficient. And we'll restart.
Mr. Mayor,
you're standing to wait on the